thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Right? So says Stephen Covey and countless other leadership types. Or my favorite little saying on priorities is, of course, from C.S. Lewis. And this is what he said. Put first things first, and you get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. Follow that thought. Put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. Priorities matter. And even the order of our priorities matters. I actually think that that's the idea that Jesus was talking about when he gave this answer to the Pharisees. When they came to him and said, which commandment is the greatest? They thought they would trip him up again. And in one of the few places in the Gospels where Jesus just gives a straight up plain answer to a simple question, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest first commandment. And a second, number two, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think we all know that priorities matter in life. And the reality is, whether we like it or not, we pursue that which is our priority. Not necessarily the things we say are our priorities, but the things that are really our priorities and our heart parts. We invest our time and energy, we find the money, we find the time to spend on the things that are truly the most important to us. Did you notice then what Jesus said should be our priority? First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's first. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I do think that the order is critical. In fact, I think one of the most dangerous temptations that we face is to reverse that order or to confuse that order and not keep clear that our first priority is our love for God. Now, don't get me wrong. Most assuredly, loving God means loving our neighbor. In fact, we're told in the scriptures that if you don't love one another, then you don't love God. It's that plain and simple. If we don't love one another in the way that we behave, in the choices that we make, then we do not love God. So, I'm not saying that we don't love God, but we must keep clear which one defines the other. See, the problem is at least twofold. One problem is that when we make loving neighbor the first priority, love becomes soft. Because you see, then what matters is creating a warm moment between us. And we lose that drive to challenge. We lose the drive to call both them and us to something bigger and something greater and something more godly. And the second danger is that we begin to substitute loving one another for loving God. In fact, we begin to think that loving our neighbor, in fact, is loving God. And of course, it is essential to loving God. Yes. But it is not a substitute for loving God first. Now, I would remind us again that when the scripture talks about this, we're not talking about eros love, which is the love of a thing, nor are we talking about philos love, which is that kind of brotherly affection between close friends or something. This is agape love, that completely self-giving, completely sacrificial love that is utterly committed to the needs of the other person. It is that kind of love we are called to have for God. And then out of that relationship with God, we are called to have that kind of love for one another. And in fact, I would argue that just like C.S. Lewis said, if we reverse those, if we make it all about having a loving, warm relationship with one another, if that becomes first, then we will lose that love for God. And in the long run, we will lose that love for one another. It is essential that loving God comes first. Otherwise, we start giving people what we think they want, rather than what God says they need. And so you may be tempted when commiserating with a friend about their horrible boss, or their mean in-laws, or their nasty neighbor. And we may just want to commiserate with them. But what might be needed is a challenge to forgiveness, a call to work for reconciliation. And in fact, that may be the more loving thing in the long run. It may not be very warm and fuzzy in that moment, but it may be what is needed. Maybe your friend wants to blame their problems on whatever. A bad childhood, bad parents, bad government, bad president, bad ex-president, whatever. Always something else.
It's just a series of
great. And maybe what's really needed is a gentle, loving call to personal responsibility. To realizing that we're in the place we're in. And part, at least, because of the choices and actions that we have made. Not just something that somebody else has done to us.
All the days are ordained awaiting me to
fulfill. Now, I want to be very careful about that, because it's easy for this idea to slip into arrogance. And the purpose cannot be to show how smart I am, or how clever I am, or how insightful I am. Purpose must always be driven by the desire for us both in the relationship to be drawn closer to God, and being drawn closer to God to then be drawn closer to one another. But sometimes that path requires a hard truth. And here's the other side of that, by the way. It also means that you're taking the risk that you may need to change too. The challenge may turn back on you in the midst of that conversation. Are you ready to take that risk? That maybe in the midst of coming to understand how God would have us learn in whatever the situation is, whatever the problem may be, that maybe both are to be changed. Maybe both need to be formed a little more closely into the image of Christ. And so we can't come at this with an attitude of arrogance. That first step of humility is to remember that it's not I'm smarter than you and I'm going to show you the way. It's, come on, let's put our arms together and as two blind stumbling beggars, let's try to find our way forward. It has to come in humility, not in arrogance. And we must remain open to the possibility that we're going to need to change as well. The challenge, you know the old saying, you know, you point at somebody, you've got three of them pointing back at yourself, right? It may be that.
Three pointing back.
We can overwhelm others in the way that God wants us to. We love God first. We love God first. Okay, first. Did you catch that, Colin? in today's college. If you want to look at it, print it on the front of your bulletin. But he says this. I'm sorry, page 2, on the front cover of the 745 service. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Did you catch the order? So that we would have the result of obtaining what God promises, we first learn to love what God commands. Our love for God, our service to God comes first. The blessings, the promises, all of that love comes after. You see, we don't get the blessings so that we will love God. We love God so that we are then open to the blessings that He promises us. But we have to begin with our love for God. Human inclination is to see love as just warm and accepting. And yes, it is. But that can't be the whole story. Because true love for one another wants us both to become more and more like Christ as we march through whatever it is that we face in this life. And that only happens when we're each willing to take those risks in our relationships, to speak that truth one to another in love and in humility and in openness that we might be the ones that need to change. But it's only when we're willing to open up the relationship in that way that we can both move closer to God and then move closer to one another. Frank Gray, one time, rector here and then Bishop of Virginia, said this: you may come as you are and bring what you must, but you may not stay as you were or do as you will. Or there's a simpler way to say it. God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to leave you that way.
Oh boy. That's good.
This is about coming closer to God, a journey that must be shared. But we'll only get it right if we remember that that love for God and that obedience to Him comes first. Your priority to feel warm and fuzzy in your relationships, or to be a part of the work of God.